Welcome to the Cortana Analytics webinars. I'm Ashish Bhatia. I work as a Senior Program Manager in Microsoft. Today we're going to talk about retail pricing and billing solutions on top of Cortana Analytics Suite. Before I introduce my speakers, let me quickly go through some of the bookkeeping items. So this is a one-hour session. We will have 40 minutes of presentation and talking. We'll have like 15 to 20 minutes of Q&A at the end. But feel free to kind of put in your questions at any point of time during the presentations. This session is being recorded, and it will be also available on demand after the live event. Tomorrow sometime, we'll send you a follow-up mail with the recording of the session and the slide sets. So let me quickly go ahead and introduce the guests for today. We have Xuxian Zhang. She's a data scientist in Microsoft. She's been working in the machine learning group. She is developing data-driven solutions for enterprise customers on top of Cortana Analytics. She has a degree from Harvard in computational science and energy. She's been working in the retail space with a lot of customers, doing price optimization, retail demand forecasting, and things like that. She's also the author of the demand forecasting template, which is available in the Azure Machine Learning Gallery. We also have with us Ilan Reiter. He's a senior data scientist manager in Microsoft. He leads a team of data scientists and engineers who help customers build solutions on top of Cortana Analytics Suite and Azure Machine Learning. Prior to joining Microsoft, Ilan was working in the smart devices division of Nokia, where he was applying data analytics solutions in different business domains such as CRM, digital marketing, and mobile applications. Before Nokia, Ilan worked in product management roles in different companies, building big data products and services in the mobile domain. So with that quick introduction, I'll hand it over to Xuxian.
Thank you, Ashish. Hello, everybody. I'm Xuxian Zhang. I'm a data scientist working at Microsoft. So for all the pricing use cases, it can range from price increment decision and promotion planning, markdown analysis, etc. So today I'm going to show you that all of this actually boils down to three very basic questions. What are the products that I'm going to select to increase the price or to do a promotion? What will be the optimized price for these products? And finally, what will be my predicted inventory so that I can going to adjust my inventory in order to meet the change in demand? So all of this has many internal external factors in business to be involved, such as supply chain management, competitors, economics conditions, etc. So today I'm going to show you how can you solve these problems in Cortana Analytics Suite, and hopefully you will walk away with the confidence to build your first pricing model in Azure Machine Learning Studio. So Cortana Analytics Suite transforms data into intelligent action. It takes care from data collection, information management, big data storage, to machine learning and advanced analytics, and finally presents the insights using dashboards, visualization, and can be called by personal digital assistants, perceptual intelligence, and so on. A typical pricing pipeline involves these several steps. So in the customer data warehouse resides the transactional data, which can be stored in SQL Server on-prem or CRM, ERP system, etc. So Azure Data Factory will extract that data from the SQL Server on-prem, put that into Azure Data Storage that can be either Azure Data Warehouse, SQL Server, HD Insight, whichever works best. Azure Machine Learning will take care of the price optimization part, fit the model, and put the prediction results back into the Azure Data Warehouse. Then the Power BI is going to produce insights based on this data and provide that insight to business users, including store manager, marketing, etc., so as to better help them to conduct pricing decisions. So before diving into these pricing details, I want to give you a big picture on why we're here doing pricing and why data-driven. And to better understand that, let's dive into a brief history of price optimization. So pricing in retail is really a heated topic in these current years, and that, so I thought that I'll start in retail. However, my history teacher told me that it's actually from the airline industry. So before 1978, the airline company were deregulated, which means all the airline fares, the schedules were put into the control of the hands of the airline companies themselves. Before that, there were only a few giants like United or American Airlines, and this deregulation really gives birth to many smaller airline companies. One of the most impressive ones is People Express. So people who were born between 1970 or before will remember these planes with their bare-bones services, which means you need to pay everything extra, including baggage handling, onboard meals, and as a return, you get an impressively cheap price. This, like many people's air travel dream comes true, including students and travelers with tight budgets. So that's why when People Express stepped into the route of American Airlines, the latter was really panicked because of its expensive price from the luxury service. It looks like that American Airlines was doomed to be defeated. However, the then CEO of American Airlines, Robert Crandall, invested a huge amount of money into this subject, which was later known as yield management or price optimization. So thanks to that, American Airlines were able to do dynamic pricing, which means for people who are buying air tickets 2 weeks or before, they are going to offer really cheap price that are comparable with people at price, while people still get the luxury service from American Airlines. But they will always reserve these 20 very expensive tickets to those passengers who buy at the last minute and who will pay whatever they can to get on board of their plane for a business trip. So this strategy helped American Airlines to win the market back again, and the People Express was forced to the verge of bankruptcy and was later purchased by another company. So when I first heard about this story, I was wondering that, so why did this all happen in the airline industry? Why not retail? That was because in 1970 and before, retail was in such a golden age that, quoted from Henry Ford, you can have any color of car as long as it's black, which literally means there's only one kind of car on the market, which is black car. So at that time, limited options were offered to customers. Therefore, they must buy whatever the producer gave them and whatever the retailers are selling. So the retailers can just set back and do cost-plus pricing comfortably, which means if my cost is $100 and I want a 30% margin, then I can just simply sell at $130. No need to do any optimization. However, that's not the case now. With so many kinds of product variations, channel variations, including telesale, including all those online markets, the competitions that retailers are facing are from everywhere and has never been more fierce than before. Therefore, they must need to think hard to squeeze out the margin in order to survive and prosper. So how is traditional pricing conducted? It's highly experienced and highly relies on human. If you are a store manager in that region for 10 years, you can be as confident as this guy. However, if you are a newbie, then it's likely that you are going to fall like him. Even though for that confident person, it's hard for him to drill down to all the skills, all the channels, all the colors and sizes. It seems like this is a mission impossible to do detailed pricing. But thanks to the data, thanks to the development of CRM ERP system, which gives us all those historical records, now we have a really good solution to this, which is data-driven pricing. In data-driven pricing, data is the primary source, and the process was scientific and is validated at each stage. It also democratizes pricing decisions. You don't have to be a manager here and know your neighborhood really well. Instead, as long as I have access to the transactional data, I have the access to the modeling and the dashboard, then I'm just as informed as everybody else. Also, thanks to Microsoft's technology of web service, it's really easy to scale this up. It's really easy to apply your model to one product to thousands of products and to thousands of stores. It enables us to do pricing in a SKU or product level granularity. The last but not the least, it fulfills the dream of the other retailers to facilitate value-based pricing, which means I'm really pricing based on the value that my customer perceives of my product. So before we dive into this data-driven pricing, what are the required data we need? In short, we need historical transaction records, which can include price, sales quantity, external factors that are affecting my demand, such as weather, holiday, economic conditions, supply chain conditions. And the most important is to have enough different price points so that we can better understand the demand change based on the price change. How to better get this data? Randomized price experiments will help you. And you must have a question of how to manipulate these prices. Well, there are several chances. Firstly, you can do promotions to your online store or your physical stores. And also, if you are an online retailer, then you really have the chance to present the prices a little bit different to different customers. And you can also send out marketing emails to them so as to provide promoted price to a certain segment of customers to better understanding their needs. So now, with all the data and with the understanding of the background of the data-driven pricing, we're back at this pipeline page. And today, I'm going to focus on one component of this pipeline, which is the Azure Machine Learning part. And I'm going to walk you through how to build your first price optimization model in three steps. So this will be the outline for the talk. So firstly, we'll work through price elasticity. I'll give you the definition and also show how to estimate price elasticity in business and as a use case, how to identify sensitive stores and products. Then we'll work into forecasting, where I will show you how to do forecasting on demand and revenue. And the last but not the least is the optimization part, where we find the best price for a certain product. Let's start with the definition. In economics, price elasticity is defined as how price reacts to a change, how demand reacts to a change in price. For example, let's take a cup of coffee. Here is a chart where the price is the vertical line, while the demand is the horizontal axis. This is a convention that's taken by economists. So I'm going to examine how will my price change when the price increases from 8 to 9, and how is the corresponding demand change. According to the definition, price elasticity is the percentage of change in demand over the percentage of change in price. We take the percentage so that we can compare that across different price points. So from here, I see that the price change from 8 to 9 as in the denominator, while the demand change from 4 to 2 as the numerator. Therefore, after a simple calculation, I get that my price elasticity from at this point is -5.67, which means when there is a 1% of change in price, I observe 5.67 demand drop. So based on the same theory, we can calculate the price change results, which means the price elasticity for different points on this curve. So from D to C, where the price increases from 4.5 to 5.5, the demand decreases from 11 to 9. And my price elasticity accordingly will be -1. Then from F to E, when my price increases from 1 to 2, the demand drops from 18 to 16, and the elasticity turns out to be minus 0.18. So let's take a close look at these 3 points. So we can see that the price elasticity is different when the prices are different for the same product, for the same cup of coffee. Usually, when the elasticity is lower than minus 1, we call this item elastic, which means the percentage change in demand is larger than the percentage change in price. Well, when the price elasticity is larger than minus 1 but smaller than 0, we call this price inelastic. You may also notice that the elasticity is almost always negative. That is because for most of the goods in the markets, when the price increases, the demand always drops. The only exceptions are the luxuries and also goods for auction. When I look at this price elasticity numbers, I found something counterintuitive. That is, this is a straight line. I was expecting a steady change between demand and price. Then I was expecting I should have a constant price elasticity. Why do I have different numbers here? We can take a closer look at this calculation. And I found that at the price point from B to A, even though the price change and demand changes are the same as the others, my absolute price is high while my absolute demand is low, which results in a very low price elasticity in numbers. And also, when I go from F to E, my absolute price was very low while my absolute demand was really high. And that's why I have this minus 0.18 here. Usually in practice, we don't have those very high prices so that nobody will buy from us. Neither will we have the low prices so that we will not be able to cover the cost. Therefore, the price elasticity will be relatively stable within a very short range of price change. And that's why usually we use only one number of price elasticity to represent the elasticity of one product. So after I understand the basic definition of the price elasticity, I can't wait to apply that to my business. So I begged my friend who has a little chocolate store in downtown Seattle just next to the Space Needle, and he gave me his transaction records of chowders. So the right-hand side column is the prices of chowders, while the left-hand side column are the sales. So I was ready to apply that to my chart. However, I noticed something strange here. That is, in my chart, for each one price, I have only one corresponding demand. However, in these transaction records, on different days, I may offer the same price. Well, therefore, I will have different numbers of demands. For example, the price 7.19 was shown here for 2 times. Well, I have different demands. One is 59, the other is 66. So how am I going to model that? So I asked my teacher, and he told me that in economics, people have ideal models where each price has one single demand. However, in reality, we need to deal with randomness. Randomness means even though I have the same price, I may have different things happen on different days. It may be that the chef has put more salt in the chowder so that less people buy. It may also be there was a rain so that more people go into the chowder shop so that they buy more chowders. In order to deal with such randomness, the statisticians, they invented this regression model. So I will put my price and sales point here and use a line that goes across them to fit this. This line will minimize distance between all the price points to these lines. And after some mathematical derivation, luckily I found that if I fit a regression model and I put the log of demand on the left of my equation and the log of price on the right hand of my equation, I will get the elasticity, which is just the parameter before the log of the price. So with an understanding of this, I go into my Azure Machine Learning Studio and build a model. So here I need to apologize for the audience because we are having some hard time with this technology. So For most of the demos I'm going to show today, I will show them in screenshots. However, you will still have a chance to see the real demo in Azure Machine Learning Studio in one of the use cases that is most close to reality. So this is my Azure Machine Learning Studio into which I put into my data. You can see the left-hand side is the sales of the chowder, while the right-hand side are the prices. So I can use the statistics panel on the right-hand side to get an understanding of my data. For example, I know that the minimum number of chowders my sale on a day will be 43, while the mean of that will be 84. And also, I found this is a histogram of all the sales he made. I can also do that to my price, and then I find the minimum price will be 5.454, while the maximum price will be 7.62. And here is a scatter plot between my price of the chowder and my sales of the chowder. And it's really ideal that I see this neat pattern so that if I fit a line across this, despite that, it will give me a really good result. So I went ahead to fit the model. Firstly, I changed the data to the log scale. And then I used the metadata editor to change the name of those columns to log sales chowder and log price of chowder. I used the linear regression model, and I trained the model, then scored it on the testing data, and then evaluate its performance. So here is the model result. It gives me that the feature weight before log price chowder is -2.4, which means with 1% of change in my chowder price, I got 2.4 cups of chowder in my sales demand, and I got to sell 2.4 less cup of chowder. And before really using that result, I want to have a sense of how good my model performs. That's why I take out this output from the evaluate model. So this coefficient of determination tells me that among all the variation that's in my data, how much my model describes. It turns out that 67% of the variation was successfully described in the model. Not so bad. So now I have my first model, and as the instinct of a statistician, I want to improve that. One way of doing so is to look more closely into my data. And here is something I find strange. So look at these two data lines, which are circled in orange. So the price of the chowder increases from 7.19 to 7.56. However, the sales drop. The sales didn't drop. It's still 59, even though the price increases. How did that happen? It's also shown in my scatter plot, where we can see that although the data follows a downgoing straight line, there are still those spots on the top of that are showing something that's far from the line. So I went to chat with my friend, who told me that when people buy chowder, many of them like to buy salads as well. So in his present experiment, he actually observes that when there's a change of the price in salad, it will have some effect on the demands of the chowder. So I asked him to give me the price of salads, which is shown as the extra column here. And now I know why. You can see the price of salads dropped from $4.99 to $4.29. Therefore, even though the price of chowder increases, because people like to buy salad, so they like to buy more chowder, that's why the sales didn't have any difference. It tells me that it may be good to bring the price of salads into my model so that to better understand the demand change in the chowder. So how can I do that? That is called cross-price elasticity in economics. It measures how product A's demand will add to product B's price change. And it's defined as the percentage of change in A's demand over the percentage of change in B's price. How can I estimate that? It's really straightforward. If I put in the log of product B's price into the model, into the regression, I can get the cross price elasticity just as estimated as the parameter before the log of product B's price. Therefore, I went back to my model and I put this data inside. Here is what I get. You can see that the feature weight here for price of salad is -1.5, which means with 1% of price drop in salad, I have 1.5% of change in the sales of chowders. And this also tells me that if my friend wants to adjust the price for his products, it's better to adjust that for salad because that will result in a less of a demand decrease in chowders. And let's look at the model performance now. The coefficient of determination is 0.77, with a quite an increase from the previous one, which was 0.67. That is because with this log price of salad, we better capture the change of demand of chowders. So right now we are equipped with the basics of the price sensitivity model. So let's dive into a realistic example, which is a burger cafe in Microsoft. So this is a cafe in Microsoft China, and I took the original price and demands and did some data cleaning and a nomination. So now you are not seeing any business confidential things. However, the relationship between price and demand still exists here. And my task is that I have several stores in several Microsoft sites, and I want to identify which are the sensitive stores to increase my price because of a recent pressure on the cost. So I know that the increment of the I'm going to increase the price of a spicy chicken burger due to cost pressure, and the increment is fixed 0.5 RMB. So the understanding is that stores have different sensitivities. Although they are all in Microsoft, some of them are in a more business area where some of them are more residential. So for business area stores, we don't observe much change in demand in changing of price because white-collar workers like me need to buy lunch anyway. However, for stores that are closer to residential where more residents shop, because there are so many other options nearby, so the store will be more sensitive to a price change. So now let me try to switch to the live demo and to show you how can I build a model on this. So bear with me here. Okay. Before the live demo comes, let me first show you what's the data I have. So this is the data set. Now I have my columns. That's the first one is the store ID. I have two stores in this case, store one and store two. And then for each of them, I have the price observation from the beginning of 2012 after the September of 2015. And for on each of the day, I have prices on that day and the quantity of spicy chicken burgers sold on that day. So here, I actually found something strange. That is, you see that on the first four lines, which are all on the calendar date January the 1st, 2012, I have four different prices. The first question will be, why for a single product I have different prices? And the second question is, when I look at the quantities, I found that even though the last three lines where the prices were around 12 RMB, which are cheaper than the first line, 15.5, I actually have less quantities sold on those cheaper prices. How can that happen? How can people are willing to buy more expensive products on that day? Okay. So thanks guys, my live demo comes live. All right. So this is the Azure Machine Learning Studio, and in case you're not familiar with that, every component is shown as a module. They can be a data, as it is here, or they can be a data operation or a modeling, for example, the join and the project columns here. So I just showed you the leftmost data set, which has the transaction records of stores, and where we observe this strange phenomenon, that is, even with cheaper prices, we're observing less quantity sold. So I asked my store manager, and he told me that there are other two columns that I may want to pay attention to. They are the sale ID and the sale category. So what are they? I looked into my sales metadata, and here is what I get. With some explanations, I understand that sale category means that whether this burger is sold by itself for a la carte or it's sold in a combo. When it's zero, it means this item is sold by itself. Well, when it's two, then this burger is sold together with other products that are in the same sale ID. For example, in the sale ID 2051, and the sale category is 2, we can see that the burger is actually sold together with a Coke. Well, for the sale ID 2052, we can see the burger is sold together with a lemonade. So this tells me something interesting with my store, that the people are more willing to buy products that are not in a combo. This is against our intuition, but if we think twice that this is a store in a company building, then we'll understand. Because some companies, like Microsoft, they offer free soda to employees, so the employees will simply not bother to buy another soda. And for those customers who do not work in this building, they will buy the combos. So now I need to bring this sales metadata into my analysis, apparently. And I also have a third data set, which gives me the information of those dates. So now I can have the year, the holiday, whether it's a weekend, whether there's a school break, temperature, and so on. Therefore, I bring all this data into my model, and I fit a linear regression here. And this is what I get. So for each of the lot price in the history, I get a fitted value of the lot quantity. And from that, the model tells me that here are the coefficients before all those terms are put into the model. And let's look for the lot of price here. It's minus 1.17. It tells me that if I decrease the price of the burger of 1%, I'll observe this 1.17% in the change of demand. So I understand the sales pattern in this store. But how about the other ones? Well, thanks to the web service, I can publish this as an API so that I can just simply change this SQL query. I can change that to from store 1's data to store 2's data. Therefore, I will be able to conduct the same analysis for store 2. The service tells me that for store 2, the price elasticity is minus 2.26. So now I have a really good understanding of my two stores. The first one, the elasticity is 1.17, while the second one is 2.26. The answer is obvious. I need to increase the price of burger in store 1. And this also justifies our empirical knowledge on store locations, as the first one is in the business area, while the second one is in residential, which is more sensitive. So you may ask, as we already have this knowledge, why do we bother to do all these experiments? That is because, what if I have 200 stores? It will be so tedious to understand all of the sales condition these 200 stores. And even though these 200 stores are all in the business area, What if one of them is also in a commercial area where there are more restaurants nearby? Then that will also bring difference in price elasticity analysis. So this price optimization model and elasticity can really help me to handle all these complex decisions. So now that we're equipped with a good knowledge of price elasticity, I want to answer a second question. That is, when I'm determined to increase the price for store one, what will be my demand in the next week so that I can better adjust my inventory? How do I solve this problem? I look back at my regression model, and I found that it not only gives me a coefficient, but also describes the relationship between price, temperature, weather, weekend, holiday, all of that with demand. It's actually a demand forecasting model, which I can use. So in order to predict for the sales of the next week, I can simply put into my prices for the next week, and also whether there are years, what year is that, whether there will be a holiday, and whether there is a weekend, etc. So I forgot to explain these three columns, the Coke, lemonade, and coffee, because that's how I determined to model the combo effect. So if the Coke is sold together with burger, I will put a 1 here in this column, indicating that here is a Coke that's affecting the demand of burger. The same for the lemonade and for coffee. And you can also do more it in a more sophisticated way, that is to put the price of Coke, price of lemonade, and the price of coffee here, so that the model will be better in characterize the pattern between all of these. But for now, this 0-1 is enough. So within all this information here, I was able to forecast the quantity that's going to be sold on each of the day in the next week. And here, I get this aggregated forecasting on the sales on every day, and also the chart on the left. I can see that the next couple of days, which is September the 13th and 14th, when I conducted this study, was a weekend, and therefore the price drops, because in the business area, people seldom go there during the weekend as they don't go to work. And also, we can see this model greatly captures the historical changes in the model. It captures the 2 weekends before that. And why do I see a sharp drop here? And what time was around that? That's September the 4th. And what happened? So remember that my store was in Shanghai. I read the newspaper. I found that that's the World War II celebration, so that people have a national holiday to celebrate. They didn't go to work, thus they didn't shop in the store. Now we are entering the last part of this session, which is to show you how to do optimization with the prices. So imagine that now I have a different question. Instead of price increase, I'm planning to maximize the revenue for the next month by optimizing both stores' prices. And I have some certain constraints. For example, the current price and new price can't have a difference that's larger than 1. And the prices in store 2 and the price in store 1 can't be different than by 1. So taking into consideration of all these constraints, we found that the number of eligible price combinations are actually limited. For here, it's marked in green. So for store 1, we have price ranging from 14 to 15.5. Well, for store 2, we have price ranging from 40 to 15.5. The green regions are those price points that I'm able to take. Therefore, I was able to apply my demand forecasting model and to predict for the revenue forecast for each of the price points, price combinations. And this is what I get. The darker the color, the more revenue I get from this price combination. And we can see that the best revenue comes when the price of store 1 is 15, while the price of store 2 is 14.5. And my total revenue in this case, as shown on the right, which will be $177,000. This is a really simple optimization case. What if my problem gets more complicated? The engineers in the Azure Machine Learning or the Cortana Analytics platform told me that I actually have a whole set of optimization toolbox to choose from. Apart from the grid optimization I just showed, I can also use R and Python packages in Azure Machine Learning, custom code in Azure Machine Learning, or I can install optimization engines on the Azure Virtual Machine, or just to call public optimization APIs from Azure. So now I'm equipped with all the knowledge to finish this pipeline in price optimization. I know about price elasticity, forecasting, and optimization. And accordingly, I was able to solve the three business basic problems that we talked about at the beginning, which are price product selection. I did that by identifying the sensitive products. Inventory prediction, I do that by forecasting the demand. And also, the last but not the least, price optimization. All of these are orchestrated by Cortana Analytics Suite. So I would like to thank every attendees who were in this session. Thank you for bearing with me. This is my first live webinar. So I'm sorry if sometimes I speak too fast. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. And I hope every one of you will walk away with the confidence to do price optimization in Cortana Analytics Suite. And I encourage you to explore all the components here. Now I will hand over to Ashish, who is going to coordinate the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thanks, Sushan, for a great presentation. Let me start picking up questions from the Q&A window. There's a question. Are you selecting subsets of data, such as Crescent's data, and doing regression just for that to determine the B coefficient?
Thank you, Ashish. Let me see. So I'm still learning this tool. So I was selecting subsets of data. Just for that data for determining the B coefficient. No, actually, in the model, I have all the data ranging from 2012 to 2015, which includes the data that are in a holiday or not in a holiday. The key thing here is to put holiday as a feature so that the model will take that into account.
Okay. Another question, why did you choose log values here and not native values?
Thank you, Vanshadeep. So the reason for choosing log value here is really from a mathematical perspective. So some derivation told me that when doing with log values, the parameter before the log price just happened to be the price elasticity. And also in reality, sometimes the native value doesn't show a good normal distribution. That will also be a reason when you want to go with log values.
Another question, just as the price can drive sales, demand also can drive price. While it is true that when price increases, demand may decrease, you may also look at the other way around. When demand increases, retailer could increase price since their product is in demand.
Thank you, Sam. That's a really valuable insight. So because I have never been to the retail field, but correct me if I'm wrong. So I think the motivation of doing this price optimization is just when we observe a demand increase. so that the retailer sees that, oh, there's a chance for me to actually adjust that price, and so that they are going to apply this tool and to see then what will be the best price I can increase. And during this process, you can also use this price elasticity model. Yeah, and well, here you can also take into the historical demand into consideration so that you can better reflect the demand increases before. Hope this answers your question. Thank you.
And the question is, what is the significance of coefficient matters in the interpretation here? For example, p-values.
Thank you, Vaseline. That's a really good point. So I didn't have a chance to show and explain the p-values, but you are definitely absolutely right. It's a very key factor for us to understanding what are the factors that are affecting my demand. For example, in the cafe, I have so many different features, such as the holidays, such as the price and the vacation, and also the school breaks. And by examining the p-values, I can understand, okay, so the holiday is actually affecting my store sales because in holiday, people don't work. And also, when I look at the p-value of my price, I can see whether the price is significant or not. And when it's not significant, I can either rethink about my business to see if that's a really price inelastic product, or it may tell me that there's something wrong into the model. I can either by re-examining my data pre-processing or to look into other factors that may have something to do with the demand.
Thanks, Xuxian. Let me pick up a few more. How did you decide temperature has a strong correlation to price?
Thank you, Claudia. So this question is actually related to Vaseline's previous one. So at the beginning when we do the model, we have some certain beliefs that leads us to choose the parameters. For example, for the cafe store, I had this pre-assumption that when the temperature is too high, because I'm selling a spicy burger, then people may be less likely to buy it. And also when the temperature is too low, people may not be willing to go outdoor to the store to buy my burger so that the demand will drop. So within this pre-assumption, I put the weather into my model. And now it's really my model's chance to tell me whether this is a true belief or not. So by examining the p-value of the weather in that model, I can see whether there is a strong correlation between the temperature of the price. And in my case, in the Microsoft store, there is not, because the store is in the same building as the company that people work, so they don't have to go outdoor to the cafe. Therefore, the weather was not a strong factor. Yeah. It's a case-by-case analysis and depends on the business and the scenarios. Thank you.
Thanks, Xuxian. In fact, a lot of folks are asking if the models that you shared from your Azure Machine Learning experiments, are they available somewhere? Are they in Gallery? Or can you point them to somewhere in Gallery where they can kind of find something around price optimization?
So unfortunately, they are not in Gallery for now, and I can work with Ashish later to see if we can push them as sample experiments in the Gallery.
Oh, that would be great, yeah. We can look at that for them to the Gallery. Let me post a few questions to Ilan. Ilan, there's a question around that the person is asking, I have a huge data set around 70 gigs. Is it possible to upload that data set and use predictive algorithm? And I believe they're talking in terms of being able to utilize them Azure Machine Learning.
Hi, yes, I hope you can hear me. I wonder if this question is coming in respect to the this presentation, or is it a general question about Azure and Azure ML? I guess it's a general question, and the answer for that is obviously yes. You can bring huge data set. You can use Azure or Cortana Analytics components to process this data, aggregate the data, extract feature, and then bring it to a predictive model. So all the tools that you ever need in order to handle big data are out there as part of Cortana Analytics.
Thanks, Alan. And again, a general question, and this is more around Power BI integration, Azure Machine Learning. How can I integrate? I think we have a lot of documentation, but anything that you would like to point the audience to?
Yeah. Azure Machine Learning in general is about creating predictive models and machine learning models. I'm not that much about the visualization of it. However, if you want to visualize the outcome of a predictive model, you can, with Azure ML, push the data into any other storage device, such as a Azure SQL, Azure Blob, or any other one. And from there, you can quickly interface with Power BI and pull the data for visualization. So that is very common way of doing it.
Perfect. Maybe I'll come back to Shushan's question around the topic. After the new prices were set in the store, in store one and two, have you evaluated the accuracy of actual and achieved results versus prediction?
Thank you, Ashish. In this use case, not yet, because that was a proof of concept yet. But however, we're actively working on this, and one way of doing that is to do A/B testing, that is to increase the prices for some of the stores or some not, and to make sure that these two stores have very similar demographic and geographic features, and then to evaluate the accuracy of this. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Shushan. Another general question around Azure Machine Learning, and probably Lan can pick it up. Regarding Azure Machine Learning, how much would it cost me to upload a significant amount of data when the person is quoting like 500 gigs in order to train and validate?
This is a bit hard to tell because it depends actually on how you process the data, how often you do that, how often you run a prediction, a training and prediction on that data. So it's basically usage related plus the cost of the storage. I cannot actually make this calculation at the top of my head right now. I also want to mention in that regard that if you use Cortana Analytics Suite, you will get a single price for that subscription, and it will cover everything that you want to do with the data, so that will be not sensitive to the size of the data that you have. So I just suggest that you go to the pricing part of Azure and Cortana Analytics, and you'll find the information there.
Right, thanks a lot. So I just pushed the Cortana Analytics slide back into the live view, and just to kind of make the point again that this is a suite of advanced analytics services, and the reason it's a suite is there's like one pricing within which you get all these services that are listed there. So reach out to the pricing page, and you will get more information there around how you can kind of leverage the entire suite of services. So that's all, I think, in terms of questions in the Q&A window. So thanks, Shushan, for having for spending time today and giving us a very interesting insight into pricing, retail pricing. And thanks, Elan, for helping answering the questions around Azure Machine Learning and Power BI. Lastly, thank you all for joining the session today. We will be back in 2 weeks with another interesting topic to discuss. So that's all from us today. Thanks and goodbye.
Thanks and have a nice day. Yeah. No, it's okay.